Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned. It may be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it without any manipulation, which means we have no strings to pull here, no hidden agendas, nothing for you to join, no requests for money. This is simply a show about truth. It's a show about the Bible. It's a talk show. It's not a call-in. It's just a monologue, not a dialogue. But if you'll listen, if you'll stick with me, I promise I'll be accurate and I will be playing no games. You will learn things. You'll be able to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, then that's fine with you. I'm not here to change you. I'm just here to give you accurate information. And what you do with that information is between you and God. But I can tell you this, once you've heard it, then the justice of God is vindicated. So if you don't want to hear the truth, better change channels. But if you want to hear the truth, if you want to hear what the Bible says, with no preaching, no yelling, no shouting, just some common sense communication of biblical principles and procedures that make a lot of sense, then stay tuned, because this show is for you. I never really push my address or how to reach me very much, but time to time I think about it. If you would like to contact me, you can always feel free to go to the World Wide Web and just type in your web browser, www.bigrick.org. That's bigrick.org. That'll take you right to my website, and you can email me from my website, or you can just send a letter if you'd ever like to do that, but don't send money. We don't need any money. But you can send a letter to P.O. Box 100. That's hard, isn't it? P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. Big city of Cropwell, Alabama. That's up on Logan Martin Lake. Cropwell, Alabama. 35054. 35054. And I would enjoy hearing from you if the Lord has been teaching you and this show has been an encouragement to you. I always enjoy hearing about that. Many of you have written to me, and I'm very grateful. I remember a letter that one person said, "I can't believe I'm writing a radio preacher." And I never really considered myself a radio preacher. I didn't plan to do this, but it kind of happened. And I do like doing this. I do like coming to you by this medium and enjoy doing these radio shows. And even though I'm not able to see you face to face, I know that God is using it. I have a friend of mine that said, "I just don't know how you sit there and talk into a microphone like there's a whole audience there." Unfortunately, he's a pastor, and he needs faces to see, to be motivated and see. And I don't really need faces. I just need a microphone. I'm just an evangelist, I guess. All I need is just a microphone, and I can come up with something to say. So are you willing to listen? Are you willing to stay tuned? Because this is going to be a great next 20 or 30 minutes here. Stay with me. Stick with me. And write to me if you would like to. I've written several books that we give away by the thousands. And they're excellent books. They're very biblical, doctrinal books, and they're free. One of them is called Understanding Your Soul. One of them is called A Crash Course in Basic Christianity. One of them deals with Christian problem-solving devices. And that's really what our show about here is, the Flatline, Christian problem-solving devices. A lot of people don't know what flot means, F-L-O-T. Why I chose the Flatline for the show. And flot is a military acronym. Stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And the concept is, in battle, the generals, they deploy the forward line of troops up there to keep the enemy from overrunning the command post. And the concept is, in our own soul, we deploy the Word of God in the forward compartments of our soul so that we keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. That's why I teach you these things. So you can learn the 10 problem-solving devices and deploy them on the flat line of your soul. And we are, right now, currently, talking about one of those problem-solving devices, and that's called the problem-solving device of rebound. I had to take a drink because I swallowed a bug. Best thing I had to eat all day. Excuse me. Sometimes when I'm doing these radio shows, and And I've done multiple shows that we'll do sometimes. Your voice will get scratchy or raspy. But you'll forgive me if I sound a little scratchy here. So we have been studying the volition. Our last radio show last Sunday morning, we talked about your volition and how all of us have a volition. And it is what God gave us as part of the format of our soul, and it's why we choose or make the decisions that we make. And we're all a victim of our decisions. There's no doubt about that. Paul said in Romans 7:15, I don't understand myself at all because I want to do what's right, but I inevitably do what's wrong. Paul said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And so we make our own decisions every day. And we make decisions as believers in Jesus Christ. We make decisions to sin or not sin. And that's a lot about what we talk about in some of the books that I've written, the books that I mentioned earlier that are free. You can get them. You can read through them. And they will explain the mechanics of living the Christian life to the fullest. They have no requests for money. They're not asking you to join anything. It's just free and accurate information. So write to me if you'd like to have one of those books or all of those books. We'll send them to you free of charge. So we're studying the sin nature. Everybody has one. All of us, every Christian still has a sin nature. And every Christian sins. All of us do. And so when we sin as believers in Jesus Christ, what are the repercussions? That's the question. When we sin, what are the repercussions? Are there any repercussions? Absolutely. When you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we sin, there are definitely repercussions. And remember that sin can be in one of three areas. See, a lot of people, if you're just tuning in for the first time today, you think, what's he talking about, sin? Well, you know, it might be a mental attitude sin. It could be something you thought. And a lot of people say, he's talking about lust. No, I'm talking about worry, fear, anger, bitterness. These are all mental attitude sins. Jealousy. You never have to open your mouth to do those sins. Or it could be some sort of sin of the tongue. Could be something you lie about, someone you slander or malign or gossip about. It could be an overt sin, something you actually do, like stealing. That's an overt sin. So we're talking about sin. We're talking about sin in one of these three areas. Believers in Jesus Christ choose to sin. And when we sin, it's always in one of these three areas. And when we sin, it always has the potential to take us into evil. And this is the plan of Satan. He wants you involved in evil. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to tell you, but you've got to understand this. All sin is evil, but all evil is not sin. All sin is evil, but all evil is not sin. Evil is a system. It's a system of mechanics that Satan has put forth in the devil's world. It may shock you, but the most evil thing in this world is organized religion. It's against God. It never has obeyed God, and it never will. Organized religion is very evil. You know politics are evil. But is it sinful to be involved in politics? No. Is it sinful to be involved in a denominational church? No. But all organized religion is evil, and all politics are evil. There's a good illustration of what I'm saying. All evil is not sin. Evil is the system that Satan deploys into the devil's world. It's to try to make people think they're changing the devil's world. Listen, this is what people have a hard time understanding. Can you actually belong to a church? Could you be baptized and go to a church and have your membership at a church and not be saved? Absolutely, you could. Jesus even says that in that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not do this and do that in your name? And he said, I'll tell them, I never even knew you. The proximity defense of, well, I was involved in a church and I sang in the choir and I went on a youth trip and I tithed. I must be saved. Not according to the Word of God. No. And in the great white throne of judgment in Revelation chapter 20, you will see where the unbeliever's name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the books of works are opened. And this is where they try to, I guess what you might say, impress God with how good they were. And the books of works are open, and they will say, see God where I tithed, and see God where I never missed Sunday school, and see God where I never said that bad word, and see God where I didn't smoke, I didn't do dope, I didn't drink. And God said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because I never knew you. It's a shame, but you cannot get to God by your own righteousness. It doesn't work that way. And that's what organized religion will lead you to believe, that if you just join up, fess up, and change up, you'll be saved. And that's not true. You're saved through faith alone in Christ alone. Faith in the finished work of what the Son did on the cross. Faith in who the Son is. Doesn't make any difference. The same thing. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe he died on the cross for you? Because that's what salvation is. Jesus said, who does the world say that I am? And remember what Peter said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's exactly the right answer. Who do you think he is? Do you believe that Jesus and Muhammad were the same? Dead wrong, my friend. No comparison whatsoever. Jesus is the Son of God. And it was the Son of God that went to the cross and took away our sin. And it was the Son of God they laid in the grave. And it was indeed the Son of God that walked out alive. And it is indeed the Son of God that shall return for us someday. Do you believe that? And that's what being saved actually means. Jesus said in John, this is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom he has sent. Believing in Christ is believing in his finished work on the cross. What he did for you, he satisfied the Father. And you, by faith, in his name, have salvation. Don't ever forget that. But when we sin, and we will, after being saved, there are definitely repercussions. One of the things that happens is we lose our fellowship with God. We're out of fellowship with God. We're no longer in fellowship with God. Now, there's a passage in the Bible in 1 John that talks about sin being light and being in fellowship. Sin being darkness, excuse me. And when we're in fellowship with God, we're in the light. This is an analogy the Bible uses. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But if we walk in darkness, that's with known sin in our life. They're both absolutes. Listen carefully. If you go into a room and turn on a light, go into the darkest room in your house, turn all the lights off, you won't see anything, you're in darkness. And as soon as you hit the light switch, bingo, you're in the light. See, when you're in darkness as a Christian, the Bible, using this analogy, says you're out of fellowship. And when you're in the light, you're in fellowship. They are absolute. There's no in-between. This is not a gray matter. If you sin, you break fellowship with God. Am I still saved? Yes. Am I going to heaven? Yes. But in time, you're out of fellowship with God. You've defiled yourself with sin. So one of the repercussions of sin is breaking fellowship with God. The second repercussion of sin is loss of the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible mandates twice that you do not grieve the Spirit and you do not quench the Spirit. As a believer in Jesus Christ, when you sin, that's exactly what you do. You choose to let your old sin nature dominate your soul. And remember, the Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you didn't want to walk in the Spirit anymore. You were tired of walking in the Spirit, and you decided you wanted to walk in the flesh. And so the temptation came down the pipe. It popped up in front of your eyes, and you said, yeah, it looks real good. I think I'll do it. And you did it. And you lost the filling of the Spirit. You broke fellowship with God. And the empowerment it comes from the filling of the Spirit is no longer in your life. So you're in a bad situation. Here you are saved. Here you are going to heaven. And yet you've broken fellowship with God. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not empowered by the Spirit anymore in your life. And you're kind of being hung out to dry. And you know what? Satan's getting a good laugh out of it. He likes that. Because he doesn't have to do anything. You're doing it all to yourself. As a matter of fact, the plain truth about it is about 90% of our suffering is all self-induced. So don't blame it on the devil. Don't do like the comedian Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. No, you chose to do it. You have a volition, and you made the volitional decision to commit personal sin. You didn't make the volitional decision to get inherent sin. That's imputed to all members of the human race. You decided to sin, and you did it. And so your fellowship with the Lord is destroyed, but your eternal relationship with Him is not jeopardized. I'm going to say it again. Listen carefully. Sin destroys your temporal fellowship with the Lord, but it does not jeopardize your eternal relationship with Him. You're still saved. You're still going to heaven. And some people think, well, what if I do a lot of them sins? What if I do some really bad sins? Okay. Well, what are the really bad sins that you're talking about? Well, what if I murder somebody? Isn't that what David did in the Bible? Isn't that what Moses did in the Bible? They're not going to be in heaven? Is that what you're saying? No. Come on. Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. That's why He was crucified. And when we're in relationship with God the Father, that relationship is not going to change. It's the fellowship that changes. The relationship is a done deal. The Bible says you're in Christ. That's a prepositional phrase. That's a locked-in deal. You're not going to lose the relationship. God's not going to say, okay, I want it back. You can't have eternal life anymore. You did a no-no. You drank a beer, so I want that eternal life back. It's not going to happen. You have eternal life because the finished work of Jesus Christ stands forever in spite of the sin that you may do as a believer. And during our lifetime as Christians, we will always be subject to sin. When we sin, obviously we feel guilty sometimes. Sometimes people feel remorse about what they did. And this is dangerous because they try to make it up to God. People want to make up their sin to God. I've seen this happen a lot, especially in divorced couples. People try to make up their sin to God. Or people that shock themselves with some obnoxious, obvious sin that was shocking to themselves and maybe even to other people. And so they want to make it up to God. How do you make it up to God? Well, sometimes you punish yourself to purge the guilt, to get rid of the guilt, so that you can feel forgiven. I just need to feel like God loves me. I need to feel forgiven. So you come up with this concoction of whatever you're going to do to impress God that you really were sincere and you're really never going to do this again if He'll just forgive you. And you know what? You're probably going to do it again. You're just telling yourself you're not going to do it again. See, and once you fall into that mold of trying to make it up to God, Satan's got you. Because if you do it again, then you're going to have to make it up to God even more than you did the first time. See, nobody can do anything to merit forgiveness from God. Let me say that again. Nobody can do anything to merit forgiveness of God. There's nothing you can do to punish yourself, to purge the guilt of what you did, so it'll make you feel more forgiven. But there is a way that God has set up a phenomenal problem-solving device in His Word to deal with any sin you may commit as a Christian. You see, a person's old sin nature has trends. And some people have a trend towards legalism. And some people have a trend towards asceticism. I'm going to show you the difference out of Luke chapter 15. I'm going to show you the story of a believer who had a sin nature. And his sin nature was a trend towards lascivious living. He was on the wild side of town. This is Luke 15. It's the story our Lord told about the prodigal son. Listen carefully. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. Two. Count them. One and two. And the younger of them, not the firstborn, but the secondborn, said to his father, and allow me to paraphrase it here, Dad, give me my portion of the goods. That's one third. The older son got two thirds. And the younger son said, give me my one third that falls to me. And so the dad said, okay, well, you don't want to stay around a while longer? That's obvious. No, I want my money now. I want my inheritance now. So the father went ahead and gave it to him. And then the Bible says in 15:13 of Luke, not many days after that, he gathered together all of his clothes, packed his bags, boarded a greyhound. No, it doesn't say greyhound, but he took a journey into a far country. And there, the Bible says, he wasted his substance with riotous living. I don't know what riotous living was when this was written, but I have an idea, and I think you know what it was too. And when he had spent everything he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And the citizen said, well, if you want to be around here and eat, you got to work. So he gave him a job. He told him to go feed the pigs. Now, this was a Jew. And hanging around pork was not exactly what he had in mind. And now he had to feed the pork slop. Standing in slop. Feeding pigs. Do you think he might have realized that he made a mistake? What is it going to take for you to realize that you bombed out in your Christian life a long time ago? What is it going to take for you to realize that you turned your back on a loving God? And God never turned his back on you. God just loves your back. But you turned your back on your God a long time ago. You went down the My Way highway. And you're up to your neck in slop. What is it going to take for you to realize what you've done? Can you not hear this? Can you not see this? Are you going to continue down the My Way highway till there's no way out? Listen to what this man did. He would have filled his belly with the corn husk that the pigs ate, because nobody gave him anything to eat. And then when he finally came to himself, you want to know what that means? When he came to himself, let me tell you exactly what it means. It means he finally had enough humility to admit he was wrong. That's what it takes. It takes you admitting I was wrong. That's what humility is. No one can learn anything until they get some humility. Teachability is humility. And you, sooner or later, have got to look at your life and say, God, I made a mistake. God, I was wrong. And that's where it starts. So he came to himself in humility. You know what this is called? Enforced humility. Wasn't genuine humility. Should have had that before he ever did this. Should have had enough humility to stay at home and work and take care of his dad, but he was sick of it. He was sick of living in a stupid two-horse town. Nothing happening here. I want to go where the party hardy is. I want to go to the beach. I want to go to where the fun is, where the lights are, where the ha-ha-ha. Listen, don't you know that's all a mirage? You've been watching too much television. You think that stuff is like they show you on TV? You're going to go here or go there, party, party, party? I'm going to tell you, in the middle of the biggest party, you can be so lonely. It is all fake. It's fake. It's not what you think it is. And this man found it out. And he came to himself and he said, you know, the servants that my dad has working at home have plenty to eat and I'm dying of hunger. I'm going to go home and confess my sin to my father. This is two things. This is recognition and problem-solving device number one, rebound. Can't rebound if you don't recognize you've sinned, can you? All of this happened because of the law of volitional responsibility. God said, if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And he was reaping it, all right into a pig slop. He says, I'm going to go home and tell my dad I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned to you. I'm not worthy to be one of your sons. Please take me back. Just make me a servant. In verse 20, Luke 15, he arose and he went to his father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and loved him and ran to him and kissed him. And the son said, here's rebound, verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Rebound is simply 1 John 1:9 in the Bible, problem-solving device number one on the flat line of the soul, which says, if we confess our sin, then he, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. And this is not something that's particular to the New Testament. This was in the Old Testament as well, when the psalmist in Psalm 32 essentially did the same thing in his life as well, when David came and said, I will acknowledge my sin to you. I will admit my iniquity to you. I will not hide it from you. I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Same thing in the Old Testament. Same thing in the New Testament. But it's exactly what you're not doing. Oh, you're going to try to make it up to God. You're going to promise God, I won't ever do that again, God. If you'll just get the heat off, if you'll get the hammer off my back, God, I won't do that again. And you're lying. You will do it again. And so you think you're going to make yourself miserable, you're going to chip in some money, you're going to buy God off with $100 on the offering plate this Sunday, or maybe you're going to get, you're going to really buy God off. Maybe you're going to throw in $200. All you have to do is admit it. Just don't hide it. Admit to God what you did. And he said he would be faithful and just to forgive you. And I hear you're saying, well, that's too simple. It is, isn't it? That's how simple it is. It's almost as simple as getting saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. I mean, that's pretty simple. It's a gift. Christ gave it to me. And this is the same sort of gift. You know why I can simply go to God and confess my sin? Because on the cross, Christ forgave me for all of my sins, past, present, and future. It's not my sins that even send me to hell. It's my unbelief that sends me to hell. That's why in John 3:18 the Bible says, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him already. It's his unbelief that sent him to hell, not his sins. Don't ever mistake that. Don't ever think, well, I'm going to go to hell because I'm a drunkard. Or I'm going to go to hell because I fornicate. No, you're not. You're going to go to hell if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the only reason anyone would go to hell, because all of your sins have been paid for. So he went and he told his father what he did. And his father restored him. Full recognition, put a ring on his hand, gave him clothes, had a fatted calf and killed it and had a party, and said, this is my son. He was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. And they began to be merry. End of story. Not quite. No, not quite. Remember that first brother, the two-thirds dude, the one that got it all? He didn't like this deal. You see, he was at home and heard the noise. You know what this is like? This is like you, self-righteous, legalistic Christian who says, how could God forgive him for just admitting his sin? I didn't do anything like that. Well, I've been in this Sunday school for 23 years. I've never missed a day. I've tithed 10% of my income all of my life. How could just go and confess your sin and that's it? Well, you're just like this dude here. He got jealous. He asked the servants, he said, what's going on? And they said, well, your brother's come home. That your dad killed a calf. They're having a party. Verse 28, Luke 15, he was angry. He would not go in. And his father went out and entreated him, please come in. You know what he said? You know what the kid said? He said, I served you for all these years. I never sinned. I never did anything wrong. And you didn't even sacrifice a billy goat for me. Poor boy. And now my brother has come home who wasted all his money with harlots, and you're having a party for him. That's the way legalism works, folks. They won't ever forgive you for when you made a mistake. And they will always throw it up to you because they are convinced totally that you don't measure up to their righteousness. And that's why organized religion is the worst thing in the world, because it judges people based on an unworthy standard. The only standard God would ever judge you on is Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Then you have eternal life. Remember John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God judged Christ, not you. If God had judged us, we would be a vapor today. But he didn't. He graciously forgave us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.